Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win!
Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Lee Kelly is in studio with me as usual, and lots to get to today as we begin to turn and head toward the weekend. Lee, week four of high school football, week three of college football, and I've got to say this week highlighted with college football, with Indiana hosting Ohio State, the Hoosiers coming off of a big 52-0 win over Eastern Illinois. We'll see, can Indiana finally, could this be the year that they can finally be in a close and competitive game, maybe even be in the lead with Ohio State and not fall apart late in the game, in the midway through the third or into the fourth quarter even. Could they finish? Could they somehow win this game? It's not Ohio State as we know. Coaching change, obviously, but still lots of similarities and still a very good college football program. There's no question about it. This would be a signature win for Coach Allen and the football program for the last number of seasons, and obviously be a big boost as far as getting maybe an earlier win, an earlier third win than expected in that race to get to six and become bowl eligible. Lee Kelly, what is your thoughts? Does Indiana shock the world? I don't want to know if I want to go that big, but do they make a splash this weekend? Do they show promise against Ohio State? Can they beat Ohio State at Memorial Stadium?
Will there be another Lee Corso moment where Indiana takes the lead and Allen calls a timeout and goes and has his picture taken in front of the scoreboard as Lee Corso did? I don't know how far along Indiana is, and this is the game that's going to tell us that. IU played two opponents that they should have beaten, and they did, one very decisively. I like the new coach at Ohio State. I think he does a nice job, and he's got so much talent. And with the transfer portals and so on, he needed a quarterback, and here comes, I believe it's Josh Fields, that come running into the fold at Ohio State. So I hope with Penix and Ramsey and company that they are able to make it a game. I'd love for them to win. It certainly would be a feather in the cap. It certainly would give IU fans a reason to stay in the stands and be there for IU football. If I were a gambling man, I would put my money on Ohio State.
And, of course, big basketball weekend as well, some visits to campus, including an official. It's so hard for me to get used to saying official visits. I guess my mind is trained when it's an underclassmen, when it's somebody that's not in their senior year or going into their senior year, you know, it's just naturally always been an unofficial visit. But with new NCAA rules, five official visits your junior year, five your senior year, you can repeat from one year to another. And so Trey Kaufman here locally is going to take an official visit to Indiana. So I know IU fans hoping that football game is not only a victory and a close and competitive game, but a great environment as well, so Trey Kaufman can see a little bit more. He's been there a few times unofficially with his mother. He was at Hoosier Hysteria when they had the big light show and graphic show on the floor for Romeo's going into his freshman year. And he's been there, obviously, to play with Coach Hoffman and his Silver Creek team in some summer games. So I'd say he's getting a feel, and he's been to Purdue now. He took an official there last weekend. I'd say he's starting to get a good feel for what these visits are about and what maybe the college campus and college life is all about. But I'm sure Indiana fans hoping for a little extra boost from the student population and from the crowd and from all the things that happen when you've got a big sporting event on your campus this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one of the things that has happened, U of L was kind of out of the picture for recruits locally, at least, when they were having their troubles. Now they're a player again, and they're picked possibly to be in the Final Four. What a quick turnaround they've made. I don't know that Kauffman has any interest whatsoever, but I do know they're back on the scene as far as recruiting and are doing a nice job. And hooray for the U of L fans, but for teams that are players that we hope go to IU, it's just one more thing you have to worry about.
Yeah, and it's hard to say right now, and I'll tell you who one of our guests is today. You'll probably, if you want to track Trey Kauffman and his recruiting, you'll probably enjoy specifically one of our guests today. But it's hard to me, obviously, with these kids like Trey Kauffman and Christian Lander down in Evansville, some of these really good underclassmen, it's hard to have a sense right now. There's so much going on with their recruiting. There are still new scholarship offers coming in. There's so many schools, colleges, that is, going to their high schools to recruit them during this time at these fall practices and open gyms. And again, they're just now, in some cases, really beginning to take true college visits. So I'm sure it's just a learning process for them and their family. There's probably maybe a thought of where they like a couple schools, maybe that they've been more impressed with for whatever reason, or that they think fit their necessary build and game more than others potentially at this point. But it's hard to really know. It's hard to say Indiana's in good shape with Trey Kauffman or Indiana's in the driver's seat with this player. It's just hard to say that. However, if you put it all together, if you look at how aggressive Archie Miller and the coaching staff have been with Christian Lander and with Trey Kauffman, if you look at some of the comments that Trey's had to say about Indiana, including on this radio program when we had him months ago, and a lot has changed, I know, in his recruiting since we spoke with him, but he's had positive things to say. So you've got to believe that Indiana, given its locality and the short distance from Sellersburg to Bloomington, and how hard and out of the way Indiana seems to have went to show Trey Kauffman and Christian Lander, for that matter, that they are priorities, that if there is such a thing as being in good shape with a nationally touted prospect like Kauffman and Lander at this early point of their recruiting, that perhaps Indiana is. So fun to talk about. Let's get into the guest lineup so we can tell you a little bit more about what's going to happen today. The guest lineup is presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, Lee and I will have some Hoosier headlines. We'll talk about, in the headline segment, Street and Smith, another preview, longtime preview magazine, came out, and they've got Indiana lower than some of the others that have come out so far. I have a feeling that these preseason publications are going to be a real frustration for Indiana fans. So far, 9, 10, Street and Smith, 11. We'll talk more about that here in just a second. Also, recruiting, a big cancellation this weekend for Indiana. Caleb Love is not going to be on campus this weekend for the Ohio State game, and he's eliminated, it looks like, Indiana from his small list of considerations. So we'll talk some about that. Also, a little bit later in the program, we'll tell you where Archie Miller was at yesterday, a trip to the pocket city of Evansville, a trip out of state as well. At least those are things we know about. And I was on this yesterday. I'm going to talk just a bit more about it today. USA Basketball not only lost yesterday to France in a game that really mattered as far as trying to get to the gold medal game, or at least get to a medal game, they lose again today in basically a meaningless game, I think, in many regards. We'll talk some about that. We'll talk some high school football and get you ready for week four. New Albany, Floyd Central is the big headline game there. All of that coming your way here in the first segment. Then later in the program, we'll be joined by Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Alex is always with me Thursdays, and we'll talk with Alex about some IU basketball topics, of course, including some of the recruiting things, but we'll also dive into the team a little bit this season. And later in the program, with all the updates and changes and visitors in to see Silver Creek junior Trey Kauffman, we thought, why not have Brandon Hoffman, the Silver Creek coach, back with us again? It's fun to track Trey's recruitment. It's fun to know who's in Sellersburg, who's due in Sellersburg, and what his team is up to. And we can start, I think, as we get, Lee, to the middle of September when we have Coach Hoffman on or other high school coaches on. We can really start to talk a little bit more about the upcoming season. And, of course, the Dragons, like Jeffersonville, like some others, expected to be really, really good once again this season and have a real opportunity to defend their state championship in the 3A classification. The season isn't too far away, so today with Coach Hoffman, we'll talk recruiting with Trey. I'm sure we'll talk some Cooper Jacoby because there have been schools in to see him as well, and we'll talk about next season as well, which will be here before you know it.
Yeah, and these two young men are only juniors. I have to keep reminding myself of that. They're, you know, two high school seasons away from graduation, so they're certainly going to improve. They have every step of the way and have a good group coming back. You throw Northern, the point guard, in there as well. It's a good group of kids that should have a lot of success. They're going to have a lot of fun the next couple of years meeting the coaches they've seen on TV from all of these different schools around the country, and it's going to be a fun time.
And I think we're going to have a lot of fun the next couple of years following some of these good teams. I mean, Jeffersonville, I know there's some coaching stuff going on, but they are absolutely just loaded right now, and Silver Creek very much the same way also. So going to be fun. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Let him know you're a listener, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham. Don't be shy about it. I know a lot of people go in there. Box lunches are great. Make sure you tell them that you listen, and I know a lot of listeners are hitting that up, so make sure you join the crowd and tell them you're a listener. You'll get $1 off your box lunch and get a really quality and good lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at our Hoosier headlines for this Thursday, September 12th. The headlines each day are presented by Zaxby's. Lee Kelly, another preseason publication out. Street & Smith's has Indiana at number 11 in the Big Ten Conference. And I tell you what, lots of frustration from Indiana fans. I think there's some unknown with the team. I think you've got to look at it from the publication perspective that, okay, Jawan Morgan, four-year leader, gone. Romeo Langford, stud freshman, averaged 16-point-something points a game. He's gone and off to the NBA as well. Some other changes in a minor way, some other things to be excited about, and some unknowns. Somebody like Hunter, Jerome Hunter, is he able to come back and play? If he's eligible, I shouldn't say eligible, if he's healthy enough to play, he probably definitely makes, the difference in a spot or two, you think?
Yeah.
In the Big Ten, some of these preseason predictions. So I don't put a lot of stock in them. I think Indiana, if I was doing my own for whatever they would worth, and no, I would not do my own because they would not be worth a darn. But if I had to do my own, I think I would have Indiana based on what I know and based on some potential things. I think I might have Indiana somewhere around the 8 spot, maybe 7 if you really want to be a fanboy and put them a little higher than what they should go. But 8 somewhere in there I think is fair. And I really feel like that's where the team will be, if not a shade higher than that. But, again, maybe I'm looking at it through crimson-colored glasses. But I do know that as these preseason publications come out, if you check the social networks, if you read Inside the Hall and the comments from the readers on the website, same for thepeaks.com, the message form there, really lots of unhappiness with these projections. And I think lots of hope that Indiana will obviously outdo some of these projections as well.
Yeah, and I think they will. But there's so many unknowns. All of the players are a year older. And last year you had a freshman at the point guard spot. I thought he did an awfully nice job, but he's a year older. He's been around the system. He was one of the leaders last year as a freshman coming back, talking about Fennessy, of course. And one of the keys, I think, is Devontae Green, and I'm not a big fan. I think his body language is not great, but if he would turn it around, he certainly can fill it up from the outside. That's something they've struggled with. So I think there are a lot of question marks. I think that's probably one of the reasons why they're down at the 9, 10, 11 spot. But I think they certainly have the talent to move up like you just mentioned.
A couple other notes from Street and Smith's. In case you're wondering, the order of finish, Michigan State, I think every prediction I've seen, and rightfully so, has the Spartans winning the Big Ten Conference this year. Michigan State, followed by Maryland, followed by Purdue, followed by Iowa, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Illinois, Minnesota, Indiana, followed by Rutgers, Nebraska, and Northwestern. And in case you're wondering, they've got in their preseason top 25, Michigan State number 1 in the country, Maryland number 6, and Purdue number 19 in the country as well. So some interesting notes there on Street and Smith's and their predictions. Indiana 11th, according to them, in the Big Ten Conference for this upcoming season. Recruiting headlines today. This time of year, going to be lots of little recruiting nuggets, we call them, each day on the program. This is a little bit more than a nugget, but it doesn't really surprise me. Five-star guard Caleb Love from the St. Louis area last night told Evan Daniels that he is canceling his official visit this weekend to IU. Of course, he was supposed to be on campus for the IU-Ohio State game. He's going to reschedule his visit to Kansas, UNC, North Carolina, that is, and Louisville. He still has those visits set up for later this month. So I never got a good feeling, at least recently, that Love was serious about Indiana. I don't know that. I've never talked to him or interviewed him or had him on this program, but you just didn't get that good vibe like you do with some other players that Indiana has been out seeing here recently. And also, I'm not aware that the coaches went to see him this week. We don't know every single move that Archie Miller and all of the different assistant coaches made, but I sure didn't see any kind of report that he was at Christian Brothers in St. Louis, or that area at least, to see him. So I'm sure that will cause some reaction from some. Caleb Love, obviously one of the great five-star guards still available in the 2020 class, that would be a really good fit with what Indiana. They're going to need a guard and a point guard in the 2020 or 2021 class. I'm sure a lot of people hope it's Christian Lander that fills that role in the 2021 class. But Caleb Love off the radar officially for IU now as they move on in their 2020 recruiting. Also, other quick recruiting notes. We mentioned this yesterday, but Archie Miller and other assistants, at least one other, was with him yesterday as they visited Christian Lander down at Evansville Wrights High School. No surprise there. Indiana coaches, Lee, are going to get in to see him every opportunity possible, whether he's an underclassman, whether he's a senior next year. If his recruiting is still open, you can bet that Indiana is going to be there when they can be there to visit with him, meet with him, talk with his coaches, talk with his family, and, of course, see him play, whether it's in a practice or in a game as well. Archie Miller and the staff will be making lots of trips down the new I-69 from Bloomington to Evansville to watch Christian Lander until that recruitment comes to an end.
Have you seen this young man play, Matt?
Yes, yeah, he played twice against New Albany. Of course, freshman year, he was not necessarily being guarded by, but going against Romeo Lankford-led New Albany team, and he was just considerably overwhelmed, but you could see flashes of greatness from him, and I really respect Coach Adams at Wrights. He's one of the great high school basketball coaches in Evansville, really in our state. And when we speak with him, and he's been on our program too to talk about Christian, he has really good things to say. But from his freshman year to his sophomore year, at least at the high school level, some of it probably had to do with the quality of defense and things he was going against, but completely different his sophomore year. And I expect the same this year. I've seen him in some other settings as well, all-star travel ball type stuff. He's really good, very skilled player, and a guy that's going to do nothing but get better, and a guy that has a very, you can just tell his court awareness and his ability to move past the ball and also score the ball as well. But he's a special player that has really gotten a lot better, and I think the ceiling is even higher for him. So going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. He has all sorts of options. Again, like I said at the top of the show, you don't know with some of these players. We can sit back and watch where the coaches are at, what we know is said, what type of priority they're making players. But you really don't know until a player cuts his list or, you know, makes a decision or at least comes up with some finalists. You really don't know where any school stands. But the thought on him is, at least locally, that Indiana and Louisville have done everything they need to do and everything they possibly can do at this point to be in a very good spot with him as far as his recruiting goes. And I think he's made some comments. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but kind of paraphrasing that he wants to see Indiana be successful on the court. You know, that's kind of the next step for him. So we'll be interesting to see, again, the upcoming season. I know we think about it from where's Indiana at? Where are they going to finish in the Big Ten? Are they going to make the NCAA tournament? There are recruiting implications with successful seasons and non-successful seasons as well. And I think Indiana's been able to overcome some of its lack of success on the floor because Archie Miller is obviously a great recruiter, and because Romeo Langford and others speak up for the program and have been great recruiters alongside Archie and the coaching staff as well. One other stop that we know Archie Miller himself made yesterday was in Putnam, Connecticut, at Putnam Science Academy, to watch Hassan Diarra, another player in the 2020 class. And according to a tweet I saw, all sorts of schools there at the Putnam Science Academy workout, open gym, whatever it was, including a number of head coaches. I'm sure that they have more than just Hassan on their team, but he obviously one of the key players drawing a lot of college attention. And, Lee, I'll be curious your thoughts on this. I know I can speak for you that neither one of us are big NBA fans, although I have a feeling that we'll both be buying the Boston Celtics package for the upcoming season. That said, I have always enjoyed the World Cup of basketball, the Olympics. Some years I get to watch it a lot more than others. Some years I get into it a lot more than others. I wasn't into it this year because some of the guys you'd like to see play for the USA chose not to play. Some had injuries. Some were afraid of injuries. Some said, hey, no problem. We're going to skip this one for this reason or that reason, but we'll be back in a couple years for the Olympics, which is, I think, the main deal. To win a gold medal in an Olympics probably trumps just about anything else that you can do, I think, in sports. But yesterday, USA, who's playing with, I think I read a story yesterday that if you ranked the players in the NBA from 1 to 50 or 1 to whatever, that the collection, the average would be maybe fourth team NBA players, with the exception of a handful of guys on this USA team. So it tells you that clearly they're not working with the best of the best and going against some foreign countries that are very good, that have NBA players themselves. And going into the tournament, Serbia, everybody said that's a game you got to watch. If USA and Serbia hook up in the medal game, probably the gold medal game, it could be just a great game, and that could be where the USA falters. I don't know that anybody saw them losing to France like they did yesterday, but guess what? When they lost to France and got out of contention to medal, the next game they had to play, I don't know what they call it, if it's a friendly or an exhibition or what it is, but they had to play Serbia, and that game was this morning. USA was down like 34-7 to start the game. They ended up losing the game much closer, though, 94-89. It just absolutely chaps me, Lee, when USA basketball doesn't win, doesn't get the gold medal. Even a silver medal would upset me, and I'm sure that that's probably an unfair position. But for a guy that doesn't follow NBA and isn't crazy about pro basketball, but I just believe that our country has the best and should be the best, especially in the sport of basketball. I understand to a certain degree some of the key players, some of the elite players, however you want to classify them, not playing because of injuries or just fatigue or whatever the case may be. But they better get it together, Lee, for the Olympics, or I may pull for another country.
Well, the Olympics are, what, 2 years away?
Yeah.
Zion will be ready then. You know, realistically, I would have rather they added people like Zion, who brings such energy to the game. Now, is he as good as some of the NBA players at this point? Well, that I don't know. But you would say no because of the experience factor. But he is such a force as far as the energy that he brings to the game. I would have been happier if they had taken some college guys and who are now pros maybe, or even college guys, to play the game. But didn't happen. And you and I both, even though we don't follow the NBA, when we looked over the roster and we saw the players beginning to pull out who had been expected to play for this team, you had in the back of your mind, boy, I hope they come through, but we don't have the best of the best out there representing the USA.
Yeah, disappointing for sure. Now the World Cup will go on in Indiana. Obviously, USA not in contention for anything at this point. Week 4, high school football coming up. This high school football season, it just cruises along. We're already headed into our fourth Friday of football coverage here on the Big X Sports Radio. Obviously, New Albany at Floyd Central is our game of the week. And to be quite honest, it's our game of the week because it's a rivalry game. I have concerns with New Albany as far as how this game will go. New Albany, a young football team that, yes, they were able to beat Evansville Harrison, but since that point, Coach Cooley's had his hands full getting some of these young guys ready to play varsity football. I have no doubt here in a year or two they're going to be maybe one of the class teams in the area. But right now they're taking some lumps, as you would expect a young team to do. The flip side of that, Coach Bragg told you and I at Zaxby's that he really liked this team and that they had made a very clear goal at the end of last season for those that were returning to win a sectional championship as the next step for that program. And I tell you, with each week that passes since the opening week game when they played on 6A defending state champion Malesfield over in Louisville, this clearly is a Floyd Central team that's getting better, that's talented, and that may very well, now that we've seen New Albany, Jeff, and know a little bit more about Bedford as well, who's in that 5A sectional that's put together now for this year, they may very well be the front runner in that sectional.
I would say so. I mean, it's a four-team sectional, so you've got New Albany, Floyd, Jeff, and Bedford. That certainly makes it a very winnable sectional for any of the four teams on a good year. I think Floyd Central has the team with the most experience. They're the only other team in Clark and Floyd with a winning record besides Silver Creek. So I would make them the sectional favorite. They've got a great kicking game. They've got a good, solid quarterback. They've got excellent line play. I'd make them the favorite, and I think it's going to – Coach Cooley warned us. He said we're young and we're athletic before when we met the pregame show. So that's coming out a little bit now.
Let's take a real quick look at the schedule, and then we got to get out of here for the first segment. Jeff at Columbus East, I'd like to say the Red Devils have the athletes to keep up. I just don't think it's going to be a close game. Eastern Pekin at Silver Creek. Silver Creek should be a clear winner there. I know there's been some question about Dylan Myers, the quarterback, who, by the way, is our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week presented by Sir Dano's Pizza. But Silver Creek should be the winner there. Providence and Clarksville, depending on Clarksville's start, if they can continue the momentum that they've had the last couple weeks, including a win a couple weeks ago, I could see that game being fairly competitive. Charlestown at North Harrison, I like the Pirates in that one. Rock Creek hosts Crawford County. Really don't know enough about Crawford County to make any kind of prediction on the game, but I think we'll have a couple competitive games that could be pretty close to the finish. I think we'll have a couple scores that aren't so close as well in week four of football.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be an interesting weekend as we reach start approaching the midway point of the season. Hard to believe, but we're a week and a half away from doing that.
Absolutely. Those are the Hoosier headlines presented by Zaxby's. Don't forget, Lee Kelly and I will be in studio Friday night, tomorrow night, for the fourth consecutive week from 6 o'clock with the kickoff show all the way until, I'd say, at least 11:15, 11:30 with our Southern Indiana Scoreboard show as well. So lots of high school football coming your way. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. We'll talk IU basketball and recruiting coming up after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall with Lee Kelly and I here on this Thursday edition of the program. Alex is with us each and every week as we talk the very latest in IU basketball. There's lots to get to today. Of course, there's a recruiting slant on things at this time of year as big football game this weekend, some official visits and the coaches hitting the road. Very hard this week in this recruiting period that opened up on Monday. But before we do that, Alex, I want to pub the Inside the Hall website for just a moment. You and your website and UM Hoops, who covers Michigan basketball in a very great way, have partnered for a feature that I look forward to. That is when you rank and break down a preseason look at the top 25 players in the Big Ten Conference for the upcoming season. And I don't think, I've tried to read it each day, I don't think you've gotten all the way down to five down to one. I think you've released everything else so far, but a neat feature. I think a handful of IU guys included so far in that. Tell fans how to find that and a little bit more about that project, which is just another way to get excited about the upcoming Big Ten and college basketball season.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot going on this time of year usually, so I think this is the eighth year that we've done this together, and we basically just start a spreadsheet and we both make our rankings and then we kind of mash them together and then we debate and kind of go through numbers and try to come up with an agreement between the two of us, and we usually do a pretty good job at least of coming to agreement. Now, I don't know if the rankings are good every year, because some years we obviously miss, you know, the one that kind of sticks back in my mind, that we didn't have Cade Bates-Diop a couple of years ago in our top 25 in the year he won the Big Ten Player of the Year, but he was coming off an injury, so I guess I'll give us a mulligan on that one. But yeah, we've revealed 6 through 25 so far. The only IU guy that's been included so far has been Trace Jackson Davis at 24. it's difficult with IU's roster to just kind of look and see who's going to be the leading scorer, the most impactful guy, and I don't even know exactly the role that Trace Jackson Davis is going to play. Is he going to be a starter? Is he going to be somebody that comes off the bench? But in terms of a pure talent perspective and a guy with the highest ceiling on the roster, I feel like he's probably the safest bet out of anybody. I guess you could make arguments for guys like Rob Phinisee or Devontae Green, but Phinisee obviously coming off an injury last year. There's a lot kind of that he still has to prove. I'm not sure. You know, I wouldn't be surprised by the end of the season if he's a guy that, you know, if you're making your list of top 25, would be on it. But in the preseason, I don't necessarily think he has the credentials to be on there. And same with Devontae Green. I mean, he played great down the stretch last year, but didn't, you know, necessarily do it over the full season. And he's had three seasons to prove himself. And, you know, right now I view him more as, you know, a top 40, top 45 guy rather than 25. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, there's every year we have a couple guys that we underrank and overrank. You know, the guy that I really like this year, who we just revealed yesterday, was our today is number 8, Joe Wieskamp from Iowa, who was really overshadowed, I felt like, last year in terms of Big Ten freshmen with what Ignis Brazdeikis did at Michigan, with Romeo, with what Aaron Henry did for Michigan State in the NCAA tournament, Io, the son new from Illinois. He was another guy that was really good as a freshman, but Joe Wieskamp was really good for Iowa, an elite shooter, and I think he's going to be a guy that takes a major step forward. And he was one of the guys that we kind of targeted as a breakout candidate, along with Aaron Henry, who we had from Michigan State at number 11. So while the overall talent in the Big Ten is not great, you know, the first thing that kind of stands out when you look at the list is, kind of go down and say, is this guy an NBA player? And there's maybe only a couple who you think could be NBA players, but there's a lot of solid college players as you go down the list. And I think, you know, when you get down towards the bottom, I mean, there's probably 15 guys who we could have put in at the bottom 5 spots. It kind of speaks to the parity and just the overall balance of the league going in. So besides Michigan State this year, I think the majority of the spots in the Big Ten are up for grabs. So Indiana has a chance to, I think, have a pretty good season, but in terms of individual talent right now, I just don't see them as a team that deserves more than one guy on the list right now.
As I look down that list, Alex, there were quite a few big guys around mm-hmm. the middle, and we've talked earlier in shows about how Indiana last year just had a lot of difficulty with big guys inside. As I look at the IU roster with Deron Davis and Joey Brunk and Trace Jackson Davis, I'm still not sure we have somebody that can stay on the floor and out of foul trouble, that has the experience and the size to battle some of these big guys inside that made your top 50.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, because I think when you look at IU's roster, they do have some guys that could potentially be pretty good. They have some depth. I mean, not just the three guys that you mentioned, but also Race Thompson, who was a guy that, you know, they threw into the fire last year in that Wisconsin game, and he held his own defensively against Ethan Happ. But, yeah, when you go down to Big Ten, you know, the teams that are projected at the top, they all have really good front court players. I mean, Michigan State with Xavier Tillman. Purdue has Matt Harms and Travion Williams. Illinois. He's got the, I don't want to mess his name up, but Georgie, whatever his last name is, he's he was on our list. Kind of Michigan with John Teske, Ohio State with Caleb Wesson. I mean, that's, you know, it's kind of rare, I think, to see this many big guys in our top 15, top 20, but not a lot of great point guards, I don't feel like, in the Big Ten right now. I mean, there's obviously Cassius Winston, there's Xavier Simpson at Michigan, Anthony Cowan Jr. at Maryland, but beyond that, there's just not a lot of standouts in that category. So I think that's one reason you're seeing more big guys mentioned on our list. But yeah, it was a fun year to do the list, because, you know, I felt like when I first started to do it a couple weeks ago, you know, I think we started about a month ago, and I put down like my top five or six, and after that I really had to look at numbers and really had to try to think through it long and hard about who we were going to rank, because, you know, I feel like after the first four or five guys, there's really a lot of different names that you could have tossed in there. But, you know, obviously the number one guy most people are expecting is going to be Cassius Winston. He's kind of the cream of the crop in the conference. But you know, after those first four or five slots, it was difficult to put together.
Alex Bozich inside the hall with us talking about his top 25 preseason ranking of players in the Big Ten Conference. You can check those out at InsideTheHall.com. A little recruiting stuff, which is going to be pretty standard for this time of year. Indiana gearing up for a pretty big weekend as far as recruiting goes, hosting Ohio State in football. That always gives the opportunity for a good environment, a good look at campus life for potential future Hoosiers. But a little bit of a setback last night, Caleb Love, who's a really talented guard out of St. Louis, told Evan Daniels that he's not going to make his visit, his official visit to Indiana this weekend, and he also looks like has eliminated Indiana from his list. Any surprise about that? Any concern about that as well?
I mean, I wouldn't say there's any concern. I definitely wouldn't say there's any surprise. You know, most people have kind of had him pegged towards North Carolina for a while, and if you have the sense of the coaching staff that a recruitment's not going to go your way, and the kid, you know, you have a feeling that he's going to go somewhere else, I think it's just best for both sides to kind of part ways. Why waste your time having a kid on campus for a visit and putting those resources that you could be using into recruiting other kids? So, you know, it's obviously disappointing that they won't be getting a player of Love's caliber. But at the same time, I wouldn't necessarily consider it a big surprise. And the fact that Trey Kaufman's coming in for a junior year official visit this weekend, they can put more of their effort and time into showing him a good time and making sure he has a good experience on campus rather than, you know, taking around a guy who's ultimately not going to end up at IU.
Alex, two big stops yesterday in this opening week of recruiting opportunities for coaches. One to Evansville to see Christian Lander at his school. The other up to Putnam, Connecticut to see Hassan, I think I'm pronouncing it correctly, Hassan Diarra and his high school team practice or workout. Two potential important pieces for IU basketball, especially Lander being from in-state, given the momentum that Indiana has currently with recruits from the state of Indiana. Can you talk a little bit about both of those players, both of those stops yesterday by the coaching staff?
Yeah, the interesting thing with Diarra is, you know, that he hasn't been to campus yet. You know, Indiana's recruited him for a while now. They obviously offered a scholarship back in the spring, but until he steps on campus and makes a visit, I don't necessarily know that we'll have a great feeling as to which direction he may be leaning. I know Virginia, not Virginia Tech, I'm getting confused because Buzz Williams moved, but Texas A&M has done a lot of work there recruiting him. I know Georgia with Tom Crean has been another school that's has recruited him hard, and then obviously Indiana. Those are, I guess, three of the names that have kind of been at the forefront right now. But I think it makes sense to get some type of ball handler in this class. The thing that's tricky is you don't want to assume that you're going to get Lander in the next class, but you also don't want to take a guy who's going to make it make IU, I guess, less attractive on paper to Landry, because you've already got Rob Fennessy, who will be, by the time Landry would be there, he'd be a senior. So it would kind of be like the perfect transition there to have, you know, a senior point guard and then bring in a freshman. If you bring in another player who's going to command big minutes, I think that's where you potentially run into a problem. One of the kids that I talked to last week that they offered a scholarship, Andre Curbelo, when I did a Q&A with him, he kind of mentioned that he was looking for a place where he could come in right away and play major minutes. And, you know, most of these kids are, you know, if you're ranked a top 50, top 75 recruit, you think you're going to come in right away and play 15 to 20 minutes. So, difficult situation in some ways for the coaching staff to navigate, because you want to give appropriate expectations to a kid. But I think in this class they got to find somebody that can handle the ball. It'd be a bonus if that person could also shoot from the perimeter. But I think they're a little light right now on point guard depth. So we'll see how it all plans out. But with Lander, I think there's a long time to go before anything shakes loose with that.
Alex, you know, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Alex.
Go ahead. No, he's just a junior, obviously, and I think there's going to be a long road ahead. Indiana's going to be in that one to the end, but I think he's got a visit coming up here soon to Louisville. There's a lot of schools that are going to be interested in him as time goes on. But Indiana's done everything they can to this point, and there's no rush for the guys in the junior class to even get close to a decision right now. I would expect things to play out over the course of the next year or so with those recruitments.
Great breakdown from Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, InsideTheHall.com, at Inside the Hall on Twitter, always with us on Thursdays. Alex, sorry we got to you a little late today, but thanks for the great chat.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good one.
Alex Bozich with us on Thursdays. Lee, as we take a step away from basketball here before we go to a break, we're going to come back with Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek to talk Trey Kaufman and more hoops, by the way. But I'm just seeing this on Twitter. Tom Allen telling with a press conference today to preview Ohio State, and this came about 20 minutes ago. Michael Penix is a game time decision for Saturday. Per Coach Allen, said that he has received short term type injury care this week, and status for Saturday is uncertain. So, trying to read a little bit more on this here and find out what's going on. Again, with Peyton Ramsey coming in some of that game and looking really good and having great numbers in that game, it's not the end of the world, and it's still the opportunity he might play. But interesting to hear that Penix, who I think is loaded with potential, could potentially not play in that game over the weekend on Saturday against Ohio State. We'll head to a break, come back, talk a little bit more about that, and have Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek on. We're going to talk about all of the visitors, college coaching visitors to Sellersburg this week, now that the recruiting period has opened, and of course more expected coming up as well. We'll also talk about some of the other Dragons' great players and the upcoming 2019-2020 high school basketball season as well. We'll head to a break. Lee and I are back after this. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Lee Kelly with me in studio as always on Thursday. I mentioned before we went to the break that Tom Allen saying just minutes ago, Michael Penix will be a game time decision for the contest Saturday, the Hoosiers hosting Ohio State. Reading from Zach Osterman, who's with us Mondays on this program, from what he's tweeting out from the press conference, he said, Allen said the injury was not suffered against Eastern Illinois. He described it as something not feeling right and would not elaborate on the nature of the injury. Also, no clue if it's lower or upper body. So game time decision, Michael Penix is Saturday against Ohio State. Silver Creek coach Brandon Hoffman joins Lee and I right now to talk about some of the great happenings with Silver Creek basketball and some of his key players. This segment is brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. If you're looking to raise money for your team or event, let our fan stores do the work for you. You can outfit fans, raise money with very little effort. They even do the sorting. You just get to cash the check. And you can find out more at Major League Shirt Company. That's mlshirtco.com. Again, mlshirtco.com. Coach Hoffman, lots to talk about. Trey Kaufman drawing all sorts of visitors to Silver Creek. The recruiting period opened up Monday, and you guys have had a number of visitors in so far and a number of visitors that hope to come in, I'm sure, in the very near future.
Yeah, it's been really really exciting here, Matt. A lot different than the norm here, but we're really excited.
Tell us about some of the visitors so far. I mentioned Indiana, Purdue, Coach Bennett of Virginia, national champion Virginia, had hoped to make it in but had an issue with a plane situation and is looking to reschedule that visit. Those are a handful that have either been there or you expect to see at some point in the near future. Who else can you add to that list for those wanting to know about Trey's recruitment?
Well, I'd say here in the next couple of weeks, you know, counting this week and next week, let's see, IU obviously was here, Purdue was here, just the colleges we've had in the gym, Miami of Ohio, Virginia has rescheduled for next week, already, you know, we got that penciled in for next week. Assistant coach Phil Martelli from Michigan is going to be here, so Michigan's got some interest. Notre Dame's going to be here. Xavier, University of Cincinnati. It's a long list, brother, but it's really neat, you know, not only just for, you know, to have a player like Trey, but for me especially to get to meet all these good people you get to, you know, see on TV actually.
Trey, an outstanding talent, but he's not the only star you have on this Dragon team. Cooper Jacoby getting some interest as well. People coming in to look at this young man, some coach?
Oh, yeah, for sure, Lee. I mean, I mentioned Miami, Ohio was here already. Indiana State's coming. Bellarmine was here. Coach Davenport and his staff was here Tuesday as well. Liberty's going to come watch. He has a whole list of guys coming to watch him, too. It's just a special thing for us to have two players that are Division I quality. I mean, we haven't had a Division I basketball player since 1997, Matt Wren, and before then was probably, 50 years ago, Steve Green in 69. So it's just really special around here this time of year.
Talking with Brandon Hoffman, Silver Creek head coach, this segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company. Big week for Trey. Not only has he had a lot of visitors come to your campus to watch your workouts and early season practices, but he'll also be on the campus of Indiana for the big IU-Ohio State football game this weekend. He was on Purdue's campus a week ago. Do you get the sense from him when you touch base with him Mondays when he gets back or when you communicate with him that maybe he's starting to understand campus visits and what college life could be like and maybe beginning to identify some things with each school that he likes and how to prioritize things moving forward?
Yeah, there's no question, Matt. I mean, Trey is he's a very smart young man. I mean, his IQ is, definitely a lot higher than mine. And when he's on campus on visits or these coaches come and see him, he's really thorough and he's very analytical and he's an old soul for his age. You know, he's probably one of the more mature players I've coached in terms of being a thinker and analyzing what's best for him. So, these visits are really good for him. He just soaks it in and, kind of sees what's a good fit for him, the players he gets to meet and hang out with, and the coaching staff. So, like I said, he's really good at soaking things in and just gather as much knowledge as possible.
Brandon Hoffman joining Lee Kelly and I here on this Thursday edition of the program. Coach, we're going to talk a little bit about your team for next season before we let you go, but we do appreciate the updates on Trey and Cooper for that matter as well. And we really enjoyed when Romeo came through, having the opportunity to have Coach in and share some of the visitors and what things were like, maybe a little behind the scenes. So I know we had you on a couple weeks ago, and it's not even basketball season yet, so I can only imagine that we'll have you on fairly regularly here over the next course of this season and perhaps beyond. That said, I do want to talk for a moment about the upcoming season. It's Thursday, so perhaps you've had three or four workouts, early season practices with your team so far based on new limited contact period that the IHSA has. This is year two of that. You can do a little bit more than open gym. You could actually get out and work on the offenses and the defenses and do hands-on skill instruction and things that in the past were pretty limited or had to be done in small groups. Tell us a very early thoughts on the Dragons this year. We know there's lots of talent. We know there's lots of college prospects, but how are things coming together in these very, very early moments for your team?
Yeah, this new rule, you know, we're allowed to do, you know, pretty much what we want, whatever we want to do for 2 hours for the 2 days we get. And, you know, but it's a long season, Matt. I mean, we're not doing defense drills or rebounding drills. Last year, we got up to practice number 92, I think. You know, that's almost a fourth of the year. And that's during the season. So, we're kind of taking it slow and just getting shots up and doing skill work, just trying to get better every day. But with the guys we got coming back, we mentioned Trey and Coop already. I think Brandon Northern's going to have a stellar season. You know, speaking of Division I, he picked up his first Division I offer a couple weeks ago. He went down to elite camp at Alabama A&M and played real well and got offered on the spot there. So I think, you know, he's, you know, we're going to kind of give him the keys to the car the next 3 years in terms of a point guard. And I really think he's ready and we're excited for it. You know, the guys we played last year, it's really those three, and then we graduated some seniors. So we got some guys that we definitely need to replace. That senior class we graduated was the most successful in school history. So right now, you know, we're, there's plenty of opportunities for guys that are moving up. You know, Holden Grover played a little bit of varsity last year before he got hurt, but other than that, there wasn't too many guys that got varsity minutes. So this guy's, you know, just competing for spots. And when you got that, when you got opportunities and guys competing, it makes for good workouts. And then you throw in, you know, college coaches on top of that, it makes for an exciting time when we're in the gym.
Absolutely. Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek, our guest. Again, Coach Hoffman, thanks for taking a few minutes out of the school day to join us. We'll be in touch on a regular basis and catch up with you again soon, I'm sure.
All right, I'll do, you know, I'm always happy to join you guys. And speaking of Major League, I'm wearing a Silver Creek basketball shirt that was made by Major League. So get a good plug in there. It's good stuff.
There
I appreciate
you're, it. You're going to be a radio pro by the time all these players go off to college. You know that, Coach?
I don't have any other skills other than teaching and coaching, so I may need another skill. Never know.
There you go. We'll take you at the Big X any day. Coach Hoffman, thank you. Appreciate the time. That's going to wrap it up for this Thursday edition of the program. Thanks to Lee Kelly, who's with me. We've got high school football wall-to-wall on Friday night starting at 6 o'clock, and I'll be back with you tomorrow at 11 a.m. for a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report right here on the Big X Sports Radio.